You to turn to Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to do something a little out of the ordinary for me. I was about an hour ago looking at this, looking at Hebrews, looking at my notes, and I thought I'll go back and read this incident that the apostle is referring to, using Israel of old in the wilderness as an example of unbelief. So I went back and read it, and I thought, well, I need to do this now. I want us to see this before, so you can really get an idea, an understanding of what the apostle is talking about. Let's look at this. We may just be right here tonight, and we may get to Hebrews 3, the rest of it next week. We'll see. We'll see what the Lord does. I don't know. I may just stumble all over myself, but that won't be the first time. Let's look in Numbers chapter 3. I mean 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan. This is the promised land, that they may go in and spy it out, which I've given. And you notice he said, which I've given to the children of Israel. They didn't work for it. They did not earn one plot, 1 foot of that ground. It was given, just like the promised land is given to us. Heaven, paradise, is given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't earn any of it. We are not there because we've done something for it or paid something for it. If we're there, we will be there by the grace of God. And he said, I give it to the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their father shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. Now, the next few verses, all the way down to about verse 16, all these heads of families are chosen to go in along with Joshua and Caleb, to go in and spy out the land of Canaan, to search it out, and to come back and give the people a report. When I read that, the first thing I thought of was, that's my job, to go into the Word of God and bring out the things that are in it, the things of the promised land, the things that we have promised to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's my responsibility to go in and bring you back report of what we have in Christ, the blessings we have, the blessings of that land. Now, in verse 17, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, the promised land, and said to them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, whatever you find out, come back and tell it. Don't try to sugarcoat something. Don't try to change something. Whatever you see, come back and tell it. That's my responsibility. Do I see sin? When I go into the Word of God, do I see sin? Am I going to come back and take the edge off of that? Do I see God's wrath against sin? Do I see the blessings of Christ? Bring it back and tell it. And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage. You know, the preaching of the gospel takes courage. If you're going to be honest with men. Now, it's easy. It's easy for me to preach the gospel here. I'm among friends, I'm among brethren, I'm among those who believe the gospel. But when you get out away from here, and you have to stand before people who don't believe it, and I've done it before, several times, then you realize the offense of the gospel. That's when you see it. But be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land, the blessings. Tell about the blessings of the land. Now, the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and they searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman and Shishai and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and they cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. Now, now you're talking about the blessings that we have in Christ. Here's a good picture of it. They cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bear it between two upon a staff. And I know, Doug, you have grapes. You grow grapes. You can probably pull a vine of grapes off carrying your hand. They had to get a pole. The grapes were so heavy and so big, they had to get a pole, and two men had to get on one on each end and carry these grapes. I tell you what, the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ are more than you and I can imagine. It's more than we can comprehend what we have in Christ. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs, and the place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from there, thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel into the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth. It's just as the Lord said. It floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it, the blessings of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong. Now here are the ones. These are men who don't believe. These are the ones who went and spied out the land. They came back, and unbelief filled their hearts. They didn't believe God would give them such a land because of what they had to face. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. You ought to see them. That's what they're saying. You ought to see how big they are. They're giants. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. They're everywhere. So they've got walled cities. They're giants in the land, and the land is just covered with these people. And what they're doing right now, what's happening right now, they're instilling fear in the heart of the people. What they're doing right now is instilling their fear and their unbelief into the heart of the people. That's what they're doing. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. Now here's an example of faith. Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and he said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." This is faith. You know, Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." These men saw them as nothing but trouble, that they couldn't be defeated. And if we go in there, we are going to be slaughtered. If we take these on, we're going to be slaughtered. But Caleb said, No. Here we can go in and we can take this place. This well-walled cities, these giants, what are they to God? These giants and these walled cities, they represent trials and trouble, fiery trials that come our way. That's what they represent. Listen, but the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. We can't handle this. We can't do this. We can't take on this project. It's bigger than us. It'll break us. And they brought up This is unbelief. You see, unbelief never believes God. Unbelief always, always finds a reason not to. Unbelief always, I tell you what, unbelief every time will take God out of the picture. It'll take God out of the picture. And all you got left is man. All you got left is human strength. No, you can't do it in your own strength. You can't do it at all. You can't face one trial in your own strength. Not one. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. If we go in there, it'll eat us up. Well, where's God at? Where is the God that has been leading you through the wilderness all these years? Where is the God who brought you through the Red Sea? Where is the God who fed you manna? Where is God Almighty at in all this? I asked myself that first. Where is God at in all this? In all my troubles and all the things that I face and all the fears that I have to step back and say, John, where's God at in all this? And when we set our minds upon God, that relieves our fears. But when we take our minds and hearts off of Him, that's when fear takes over. And when fear takes over, it'll shut you down. Fear will absolutely shut you down. They did to people. These 10 men came back with an evil. They turned a good report into an evil report. Joshua and Caleb come back with a good report of the land. The gospel, the good news. They came back with the good news. But these other 10 men, they came back with bad news. They turned that good news into bad news. I'll tell you what's bad news. God's done all He can do. God has done all that He can do, and the rest is up to you. That's bad news. That's bad news. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's not of yourself. It's the gift of God. That's good news. That's good news. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Is this how we see our trials? And I'm talking to myself. Israel and I decided to bring this verse, and I'm just going reading it to you. I don't have notes on this. But this is what I see. Is this the way I see my trials when I come up against them? They're great of stature. They're bigger. They're so big. It's gonna swallow me up. It's gonna swallow me up. And there he says in verse 33, and there we saw the giants. when you lose sight of God, now listen, when you lose sight of God, all your troubles just keep getting bigger. They just keep getting bigger. They said, there we saw the giants. The giants. The sons of Anak. You know what? A giant can fall just like a midget. It doesn't take any more power of God to bring down a big man as it does a little man. It doesn't take any more power of God to handle and take care of a big trial, a fiery trial, than it does a little trial, if there is such a thing. And listen to this. And we were in our own sight. This is how they saw themselves in the face of these men. And you can say, and I can say it this way, in the face of our trials, they said, we saw ourselves like grasshoppers. And that's the way they saw us, as grasshoppers. Is that how we look in our trials? Do we feel like grasshoppers? And I can feel like a grasshopper before God. I may feel like a worm before God, but now my trials are sin of God. This is the reason they wouldn't go over into the land of promise. They didn't believe God could deliver them from these people. And they just did not believe God. And in chapter 14, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night because of the evil report. Because of fear. unfounded fear. They went to bed and they wept. They went to bed, they were scared to death. They went to bed, listen, they went to bed in unbelief. It's like God has brought us to this far. Now, where is He? Is God among us? And what they're saying, when they said that, they're saying, if God is among us, let Him prove Himself again. How many times God has to deliver us if we believe Him? How many times? And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, against Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, would to God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Can you believe that? Where would you rather die? In faith? On the battleground where God puts you? Or back there in bondage? They said, would to God we had died in the land of Egypt. Or would God, now listen, God's going to fulfill this one for them. You know, we have to be careful when we speak. They just spoke their own judgment. Or would God we had died in this wilderness. And we'll see here in a minute, God said, all right, you said you wish you had died in the wilderness. I'm going to see to it that you do. Your unbelief is going to leave you right where you are in the wilderness. That's where it's going to leave you. And wherefore hath the Lord, listen, why? Can you? The long-suffering God's amazing. Why has the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword? Why did God send me this trial? Brethren, I've been guilty of that. I can tell you I'm guilty. Lord, why are you doing this? Why? That's when you realize, you know, you realize when you read this and realize, first of all, you're guilty of it too. You're guilty of it. And the grace of God that He didn't leave you, He's not leaving you in the wilderness. He did them. And He could me. He has every right to. Why has the Lord brought us into this land? Why is He putting me through this? To fall by the sword? They didn't believe God was going to deliver them at all. They didn't believe it at all. That our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Were it not better for us to return into bondage? Did we not have it better when we were in bondage? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return to bondage. Egypt, that's bondage. Symbol of bondage. Let us go back there. That's better than this. Boy, does that smell of unbelief or what? You know, at one place, remember, I think it's called Meribah, where they were thirsty and they were complaining and they said the same thing. Why did we leave Egypt? We might be better off. They kept wanting to go back to Egypt. And God gave them water out of the rock. God gave them manna. God parted that Red Sea. He did so many things for them. I mean, miracles that they witnessed. And yet they did not believe God would deliver them. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. I wrote out by that, it hurts. It hurts. When a true believer sees unbelief in people who are supposed to believe, it hurts as a pastor. It hurts as a pastor to see people not believe God who are supposed to believe God, who say they believe God. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it's an exceeding good land. I have nothing, it's nothing but good news. Don't turn back. Don't turn back to the wilderness. Don't turn away from Christ. That's what Hebrews 3 is talking about. They were going through some real persecution. And some of them, evidently the report had come back to the apostles, some of them were considering turning back to the sacrifices, to the law, to that bondage, to that first testament, they were considering turning back. And it's just like he's saying here, don't turn back to that. Don't turn back. Don't have an evil heart of unbelief, a perniciously evil heart of not believing God. He said, the land is exceeding good. What we have in Christ exceeds everything else that you could have under the law. It exceeds everything we can even imagine. What we have in Christ. I know we don't want, and I know though, I know this. I know you who believe, you fear this. I know that. But I know of a situation here someone's talking to me about not long ago, a person who I've known for years. Who I've known sat under the gospel for years. Confessed to believe the gospel for years. Has now denied it. Said, I don't believe God chose a people. I don't believe God sends good people to hell. God doesn't send good people to hell. There's none good, no, not one. There's not one good person in hell. But this person now totally denies the truth. And that to me is scary. It's scary. He says here in verse 8, if the Lord delight in us, then He'll bring us into this land and give it to us. If we have found grace in His sight, He will bring us into glory. And He's going to bring us into glory through His Son, Jesus Christ, through His blood, through His righteousness. He's going to bring us to glory if the Lord delights in us. You know one of the evidence that the Lord delights in us? You have the gospel. While it is said today, it's still being said today. Today, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Today is a day of salvation. Now is accepted time. It's still called today. If the Lord delight in us, then He'll bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Don't turn on Him. Don't question Him. Don't put a question mark over the mercy of God, the grace of God, the power of God, the love of God. Don't put a question mark over Him. Don't do that. Well, only rebel not ye against Him, neither fear ye the people of the land. Don't fear your trials and troubles. I want you to listen now to this. I want you to get this. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. It's good for us. Whatever God sends my way is good for us. It's bread for us. Their defense is departed. Their glory is gone. They're just a shadow. You know, if you look over in the margin, my margin, that word defense means shadow. They're just shadows. Nothing can touch your life in Christ. Your life in Christ is secure. Every time Satan came to the Lord and the Lord gave him permission to touch Job, he said, you can't touch his life. Because for Satan to do that, he'd have to annihilate God because He is my life. And the Lord is with us. The fact you have the gospel here, you still have the gospel. And brethren, I believe that the gospel we preach here is the only gospel there is. If this is not the gospel, there's not a gospel and there's not a God. That's how confident I am about it. The Lord is with us. Fear them not. Don't fear them. Paul Mahan wrote an article one time. He said, he that fears God, I'm going to have to paraphrase it. He that fears God fears no one else. He that does not fear God fears everything else. You won't be able to go sleep at night. You'll struggle going to sleep at night. You're afraid. You fear. Safety, the scripture says, safety's of the Lord. Safety's of the Lord. And I can go to sleep with that. But all the congregation, now look at their response. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me, test me, try to prove me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? What in the world does God have to do? What more can He do than what He's already done? How long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, all these things, and they still don't believe me. I'll smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. Now I want you to notice the intercession here of Moses, and how you can just tie this into the intercession of Christ. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud stands over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. I tell you what, our conduct does matter. That's what I see. Our conduct does matter. Our conduct reflects on God, and the way He treats us, the way He deals with us, is a reflection of Himself. Now, if you shall kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard of thy fame, the fame of thee, will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which He sware unto them, therefore He has slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power... Now notice here something. Let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, now let thy power be great, let it be shown, Lord, in your long suffering toward them. Aren't you glad God is long suffering? If God were not long suffering, He would have got rid of me long ago. The Lord is long suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee. Can't you just hear this in Christ's prayer? Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Forgiven for Christ's sake. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me, tried me, proved me these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me to see it. Unbelief. You know what keeps us out of glory? Stealing a watermelon? Does that keep you out of glory? Not believing God. And that's it. Now that's it. Now all my sins that I would, that if I died lost, all my sins done in this flesh will determine the degree of punishment. There are degrees of punishment. Some more than others. But the one thing that will condemn my soul to hell is that I never believed God. Never believed Him. And He says they're not going to see that land. Not going to do it. But my servant Caleb, you know what his name means? Faithful dog. That's what his name means. Faithful dog. Because he has another spirit, the Spirit of God, with him, and he's followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. He says, tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against. You know, there's another place that says, the Lord heareth thy murmurings. He hears thy murmurings, thy complaining. Why this? Why that? Why can't... God hears it. Say to them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. You said, why didn't we die in the wilderness? He said, that's what I'm going to do. You're going to die in the wilderness. There's a scripture our Lord says, by thy mouth shalt thou be by thy word shalt thou be justified, and by thy word shalt thou be condemned. They said, why, we wish we'd just die in the wilderness. Well, God's going to grant it. He's going to grant it. Your carcasses shall fall. They're going to be strewn through the wilderness. And all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, they're going to die in the wilderness. Doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to you, to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, your little ones, which you said will be a prey to them, I'm going to bring them into the land. You would say, and our wives and our children are going to be prey to these giants. They're going to eat them up. He said, no, I'm going to save them. They're the ones I'm going to save. And they're going to know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they're going to fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcass be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities. Even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation. And the reason why? Because they didn't believe. They didn't believe. That are gathered together against me in this wilderness, they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against me, guess what God's going to do to them? In verse 37, God killed everyone. He killed 10 of them. The ones who turned it into an evil report, God killed them with a plague. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And listen, I'm going to close with this. I'm not going to get to Hebrews 3. We'll get to that next week. But I want you to see this, for you really understand what the apostle in chapter 3 talking about, that unbelief, that heart of unbelief, an evil heart of unbelief in turning from the living God, like they did in the wilderness. And so I decided this would be good for you. But now look, in verse 40 through 43, and they rose up early in the morning and got them up to the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here. Here we are. We're ready to go. This is what they said. The congregation now, after judgment passed on them, got up to the mountain and said, Moses, we're ready to go. We're going to go into the land. And God said, no, you're not. Too late. Listen, the day of grace has passed. It's passed. It's over with. The long suffering of God is over with. There is a time when the door is shut. And they rose up early in the morning and gat them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we'll go up unto the place which the Lord had promised, for we have sinned. We it's too late. It's like Esau, who after he lost his birthright, it says he sought it bitterly with tears. It says he found no place of repentance, though he sought it bitterly with tears. The day of grace is over. The day of long-suffering and mercy is over. You see how important it is to when it says today? Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. It's still being called today. You're sitting here listening to this. It's today. Any person walks out that door lost, Brethren, if you come back, it's the mercy of God. It'll be the mercy of God. But he may just cut it off. And Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that you be not smitten before your enemies. And you know what they did? They went over into the promised land. And guess what happened? They were killed. Many of them, not all of them, but many of them were slain. They were slain. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. It didn't go with them. God did not go with them. God forsook them right there. The Amalekites came down, the Canaanites which dwelt in the hill smote them and discomfited them even unto Hormah. Now, just let me read Hebrews one more time and we'll quit. Wherefore, now we'll look at this next week. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, now that's what he's quoting here is Psalm 95. David quotes this. This is what David says. But he doesn't give it to David. He says it's the Holy Spirit speaking. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you'll hear his voice, if you'll pay attention and listen, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness when your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath they'll not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. All right, Billy.